Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, folks. I tell you, I thought I was going to be late. I was talking to my mama on the telephone, and when she gets to rolling, sometimes she doesn't want to hang up. And I said, Mom, I got 60 seconds. I got 57 seconds. I got 34 seconds. I just love her to death. And by golly, she's getting ready to run some errands and wanted me to know that my dad would be home by himself and keep an eye on him. Gosh, this is what's great about this business. You know, if I was working a 9-to-5 job, she wouldn't be able to call me. If you're out there thinking, man, is this the time? Should I do it? I'm telling you, there's no better time in history than to be in the business for yourself. I don't care if you're wanting to go out and start making wooden pens or cutting stuff on a scroll saw or learning to write novels or running a network marketing business. Now's the time to do it. You can't go wrong. We are in Chet Holmes' book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. We are on Chapter 10. You know, we are winding this book down. I really do hope you guys have gone out and bought Chet's book. This is a phenomenal book. He reminds me a lot of these studs that are out there that when they have a chance, they write a book, but when they don't have a chance, they don't worry about it. Man, you guys, he's put this lifelong effort into this book, and this is good. Today, sales skills. The deeper you go, the more you will sell. This is the 7 steps of the sales process. And I'm telling you, you cannot be afraid of the word sales. You know, as I was going through this book and pulling out some other reference materials from Anthony Robbins and Art Williams and Tom Hopkins and I can't, the list goes on and on. I mean, I've got so many books on sales. And I started looking through this and then I grabbed my own sales journals and started looking through what I wrote. I thought, you know, there's an old Proverbs in Ecclesiastes in the Bible that says, there's nothing new under the sun. And I started snickering to myself saying, you know, there is nothing new, but the way Chet writes it is phenomenal. And he starts this chapter off. Listen, this is just powerful. Listen to this. Well, actually, don't listen yet. If you're a CEO or a founder of a company, you need to listen to this, which most of us are because we're home-based business people. But there's some that may not want to hear it. Listen, most companies leave far too much of the sales process up to the individual salespeople. Yet to create the ultimate sales machine, you must work as a team, utilizing everyone's brain power to drill down, perfect, and produce each aspect of the sales process. In this chapter, listen to what he says, we combine workshop training with the perfect sales process for any company that wants to slaughter the competition and be king of the jungle. I call this dominating your niche. Star salespeople will improve on everything that we give them, but at least if you set the standard, you know the minimal performance. One of the things that Art Williams always did, here we are, a bunch of ragtag, part-time, independent reps, but he set the standard. Do you realize that every compensation structure that's out there, inside or outside of direct sales, doesn't matter, is set up with a minimum standard? See, I personally, and people debate me on this all the time. One of my mentors and somebody that knows more about this industry, loves this industry more than most people do, and has forgotten more than most people ever learn, is Rod Cook, the MLM watchdog. When Rod and I debate stuff, it's usually compensation plans, because he's this analytical, Troy, the math won't work long term, all this kind of stuff, and he's right. I mean, I won't knock math. Math is that's what it's there. It's logic. Go back to Aristotle. But here's where I always come from, and I do this today. I'm a firm believer. You can take the worst compensation plan out there, and if you have somebody who understands how to be the ultimate sales machine, they will make money at every level in the compensation plan, because they understand that it's not about the plan, it's not about the money, it's about going out there and closing the deal. You can take the best compensation plan in the world, the one that's been created to last for eternity, and if a person doesn't understand what she's supposed to do when it comes to the sales process, if she's not mastering these 7 steps, if she's not becoming the ultimate sales machine, she'll fail. See, it's never about the compensation plan. It's about you as the individual. It's about you as the CEO or the founder of your company. What standards have you put in place? You know, and this goes from the inside out, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. So you got to stay focused on this. See, sales is a science. It's been studied and defined and studied and defined and studied and defined since day one. First salesman ever walked the face of the earth was Adam. Adam's going around in the garden. He's checking stuff out. Man, he has got he is there. And my paraphrase, you won't find this written like this in the Bible, but he says, you know, God, thank you for coming down and hanging with me in the evening times. And I appreciate this, and you're my mentor and my creator, and you're teaching me all this stuff. But, man, I'm lonely. You know, I need a woman. I need a companion. Now, he didn't say woman, obviously. Lord loved his creation, saw that he was lonely, and said, you know what, I'm going to make you somebody that can hang out with you. And man, life was good. You know, that's the key. You got everything is sales, so don't be afraid of this. It's a science. We've all been studying it. Do you realize that my skipper that was in charge of me, my major in the Marine Corps, he was a salesman. You know, he would go out there and it never failed. When we were out there on those missions, do you realize he had to sell those missions to us? See, there is nothing out here that doesn't revolve selling. And if you don't understand sales and you can't define it, you can't improve it, which means you're not going to make any. That's the way it goes. Now, there's levels of learning that we're covering in this thing. And this is where a lot of CEOs that I've talked with, some of them that we've counseled with, some of them that we consult with, this is where they get it wrong. And some of them understand after we've talked with them, and they say, aha, okay, now we know where we need to go with this. Some of them still don't get it. But here, this is what Chet writes, and he writes it better than I can articulate it. I'll tell you that right now. He says, if you've ever been part of a highly trained team, you know the sense of confidence that comes with that. I put my spectacles on here, folks. The secret to building an excellent sales force or a team of any kind is in repeating core training on basic sales skills again and again and again. See, that's the key. See, it's not about your product. Now, don't get me wrong. Marketing is, you guys know, I love that. You know, when Yoli brought out their blast cap as a delivery mechanism, I thought that was phenomenal. Nobody else was doing that network marketing. Great idea. You know, most people don't understand. It was right after they did that all of a sudden companies started going to freeze-dried pixie sticks and stuff like that and bringing it out. I mean, you see what I'm – it's sales, competition. But most companies do not train on the core basics of their company or on the basic fundamentals of sales. Listen to what Chet says here. The lowest level of learning is memorization. It's easy to memorize the seven steps to every sale, but that does not mean that you can apply them. See, I listen to CEOs saying, memorize the script, memorize the script. I listen to field leaders saying, just memorize what I'm telling you to say. Just duplicate what I'm telling you to do. That's the lowest level of learning. However, it is an excellent starting point. Here's what Chet writes. The highest level of learning is known as the synthesis or the subconscious competence. This means that you have learned the material so well that you can synthesize it into your own style and method of doing things. Synthesize requires a lot of repetition and a lot of practice. You guys have been on this training. In this case, you know that I have been in sales since I was 12 years old. I did not realize that I started my learning process long before that. See, at 5 years old, I was carrying a Tupperware Hostess bag. My mom had to take me with her. My dad worked. He was a truck driver, worked for the Teamsters as a union steward. She had no choice. I started listening to the repetition, the process in which she utilized her sales skills. By the time I was 12, I was making sales and doing it on my own. By the time I was 16, I'd started my own business. Now at 46, we've owned numerous businesses, mergers and acquisitions. We've worked inside and outside of the network marketing. We consult. See, I took it from memorization to subconscious competence. I'm writing a book right now with Tom Hopp, And Tom draws this subconscious competence out of me. We have these brainstorming sessions where we use the UVU technology and we record our conversations so that he can go back as he's listening to the nuggets and the tidbits of information that I share on network marketing and direct selling as a whole. See, this is where you've got to come. This is what you've got to be able to do. You've got to break into this. There's 7 steps that you've got to be able to do in order to achieve this subconscious competence for you and your team. This is for CEOs. This is for field leaders. This is for brand new distributors who are going to build a team. If you're going to do it and do it right, then you have to do this. It's not about quota filling. It's not about just fill out a piece of paper and tell me what you did or didn't do. This is about setting standards of excellence. So you set the standard, and then you start training your team. You don't worry about did they do anything, but some will, some won't, so what, go next. Guys, it doesn't matter what process you're in, that works. So what you're doing is you're setting the stage. Here's the standard of excellence. If you're rising up to this, we're working with you. If you're not rising up to it, we're not going to give you the time of day because you've shown you don't care, and we don't waste time on people that don't care. We waste time, we invest time on people that want to learn. That's the way it is. So let's look at the 7 steps. We have 15 minutes or so to do this. We're not going to. There's no way you can get everything you need to get out of this show. You've got to buy Chet Holmes' book. Go to ChetHolmes.com, buy The Ultimate Sales Machine. If you're on our Blog Talk Radio site, you can grab it there. Doesn't matter. This is what you need to do. Number 1, establish rapport. That's the first step in the sales process, is establish rapport. When you look at this, you realize, aha, but why? Troy, that sounds like just traditional network marketing. Go share. Go talk to your friends and family. No, not at all. Listen. Here's what Chet writes. If you're friends with your clients, it's very hard for another salesperson to take them away from you. That needs to be part of your sales process. Most companies leave this up to the individual salesperson. In my companies that we've built, we literally build in the opportunity to become friends with our clients. Parties, events, boat trips, you name it. Bring them over to the house. Have a barbecue. You want to know the greatest organization in history that has done this right is BNI, the Business Network International. Because every chapter only has 1 member in each niche. You can't have 14 network marketers in one thing, and then all you're doing is grabbing the same people. You'll have a chiropractor, you'll have 1 CPA, you'll have 1 dentist, you'll have 1 mechanic. It's the coolest way of doing things, folks. See, they become friends. I'm at my chiropractor's, he's working on my back. I say, man, I got to get Paige's car fixed. Dude, I've got a rock star that can take care of that for you. Let me give you his name. And sure enough, he did. Cut me a sweet deal. This is what it's about. You have to build rapport. Listen, here's the way I look at this. Rapport is just the first step. Inside of rapport, matter of fact, where's that? Listen to what's in the World English Dictionary. The definition for rapport is an emotional bond or friendly relationship between people. Listen to this. Built on mutual liking, trust, and a sense that they understand and share each other's concerns. Trust. This is the first step. When you build trust, when you build rapport, it's hard for anybody else to take your client away from you. Think of your favorite client relationships right now. Here's what Chet writes. If you're business to business, answer these questions. I'm going to tell you, if you're business to consumer, answer these questions. Greg Arnold will agree with me, the host of Home-Based Business Radio Live. You can go to homebasedbusinessradiolive.com. Good friend. We were on that show yesterday. Listen, we were both trained by the same guy, Art Williams. Listen to this. How many children do your clients have? What are the ages and names? Do you know when they were married? Have you been in their home or vice versa? What are their hobbies? Do you know what will make them successful? Do you know what their goals are in life? Do you know their history? Listen, folks, when you get to know your clients on a personal level. When you go in there and you build on this, matter of fact, most of this information you can probably find on Facebook or something like that if you do it right. This opens the door. And this is the thing. You're going to find that you're going to close and keep more sales by building rapport. Not manipulating, not pretending, but being true friends. And when you do that, the sky's the limit. Here's how you build rapport with folks. Write this down. A, ask great questions. Use the form method. Ask them about their family, their occupation, their recreation, what they like to do, and what's their motivation. What is it they want? Have a sense of humor. Don't always be serious when you're sitting there building rapport. Be friendly. You gotta build this. Commensurate. Okay, misery loves company. If your client's going through a hard time, if they just lost a big client, if they just got hit with something, man, come around and empathize with them. Don't sympathize. Okay. Matter of fact, that's next. Be empathetic and care about them. You got to do this. Matter of fact, it's the backbone. Find common ground. Mirror them. Mirror their tonality. Mirror their speech. This builds comfort. Man, if you're from the South, you've got a little twang in your voice, just like I do. If you're from New York, you may sound like this and talk through your nose like my friend Mark Layton. We're buds. It's kind of funny because Mark could tell you. Man, we've got some mutual friends, and when they first heard me talk, they said, Troy must be dumb as a box of rocks. He talks with a twang. He draws out sentences. Well, there's an old saying, I may be slow, but I'm not stupid. And you know what? We're still kicking this thing up and having fun. Sales step number two, write this down. Qualify the buyer. That means you find the need. Listen to what chat writes here. Qualifying buyers mean finding out what they are looking for in your product or your service and what factors will influence them to buy. In this step, you need to learn everything you can about their existing buying criteria, but the key to developing your ultimate sales machine is to reset the buying criteria so that your product or service becomes the logical choice. See, a lot of times, because corporations don't get it right, all they do is say, memorize the script. Salesperson goes in, memorizes the script verbatim, and they can rock it out. They're so good that the founder of the company says, look, this person's doing it right. He memorized every word that I wanted memorized, and we're going to give him the plaque of the month. Then they're not closing any sales. You got to build rapport. This is not a sprint. Sales is a marathon process. You have to make this happen this way. Think of every question that your salesperson should ask in order to thoroughly understand the client's needs. Might be like, how do your customers find out about you right now? What do they do? You know, do your clients give you credit cards? You know, do your clients come to you because of you're the exclusive, you're the dominating person in your niche? What's the deal? Ask the right questions. You build on those right questions. Questions help you close. A, B, C, always be closing. See, that's the key. And you can ask specific questions to help you close. Hey, what's it costing you right now to find your dream clients? Are you the type of person who likes to learn new things? Or are you going, you know, through and looking for breakthroughs in this? What are you doing? Ask the right questions. Each niche is a little different in that, but you're going to get the questions down. It's that plain and simple. Step number three, build value. Here's what Chet writes. After you've assessed your customer's buying criteria, you must begin to build value around your product or service. You've already built rapport. You've asked a lot of questions. Now you ask them. This is the key. How much do you know about us, by the way? See, you don't go in there and lead off with your presentation. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. I don't care if it's a business or a person. They want to talk about themselves. They want to know about themselves. They want you to remember their name. So build rapport with people. It's the only way to do it. Now, if you've read the book, if you've listened to us the last few days, then you know this is where you want your actual executive briefing. This is where you start talking about what's important and how you have been able to uncover a trend that's going to save them massive amounts of money. It's the key. It's the whole crux of what we're doing. See, too many times, the CEOs of companies, the founders of companies, were sales folks, and they were good at what they did. But then they get into the office, they create these companies, they create these opportunities, and you know what? For whatever doggone reason, they forget what got them there. Now, that's about the brand only. CEOs can go out and build the brand. The sales team goes out and builds the value underneath the brand. Don't forget that. That's a Troyism, by the way. That's not a Chet Holmism. Step number four, create desire. Chet writes this, now it is time to make your client want, desire your product or service and want it right now. There are a lot of things that you can do to increase the desire. But here's the kicker. Here's two techniques. Number one, lead them through a series of questions in which you intensify their need from their perspective. See, it's never about why you think they need it. It's about them realizing they truly do need it. And the second thing, present killer data that truly motivates your buyer to take action now. Stories sell. Facts tell. You need to remember that. They're going to have to look at those facts. They're going to hear you telling the stories about why this data is so important to their business, how it's going to save them money, what you found out about their competition, and you're going to make the sale. Listen to what Chet writes here. Be clear on this point. Your buyers will be a lot more motivated if their current situation becomes unacceptable. See, if you teach them, if you make them realize we have got to change, now you've created the desire that it's going to take to get it over the top. If your prospects are comfortable with their current situation, they'll never be motivated to change. You'll never close the deal. Number five, this is the big one, overcome objections. Man, that's a big one, and it's one most people fail at because as soon as, here's what happens. If you cannot overcome an objection, then you feel rejected and you quit. This is what happens most of the time. Here's what Chet writes. What are the most common reasons that you lose a sale? And how many different ways have you developed to eliminate the barriers of buying? These are two great questions. The toughest objections are those ones that you do not know. And most of the time, you do role-playing in your workshop setting, but you don't work role-play on the unknown objectives. So when an unknown objective comes up, people don't know what to do, don't know what to say, don't know how to say it. But a talented salesperson establishes the needs and finds out the objections early in the sales process. But here's the kicker. Oftentimes, when you go into the close, there's a hidden objective. This is where you want to constantly be doing workshops. You want to be asking your sales reps questions. Hey, what can we do to make these changes? What do we need to know about this? How can we cover this? You know, what is it you guys have learned? What's the biggest marketing challenge in See, internally, you'll be able to overcome objections externally. That's the kicker. Here's some things that you need to know. Number one, always agree with the objection. Plain and simple. You know, you have to do that, and you have to do it right. You have to understand that if you look at somebody and say, that's the stupidest objection I've ever heard of, the next thing out of their mouth is going to be, get the heck out of my office. But if you sit there and you look at them for a second, you say, man, you know what? You've made a valid point. Matter of fact, I had somebody the other day mention that to me, and here's what I found out. Let me see what you think about this. And you share that with them. You just took down the barrier. Or if you look at them and say, you know what? That's a valid question that you ask. you know what, if I can get the answer to that, and it's an answer that you feel comfortable with, and is that the only thing that's keeping you from buying right now? Guess what? You just closed the deal. See, this is what it's called. You isolate the objection, and you answer the objection, and you go in and you make the sale. That's the kicker. Okay. Number six, drum roll, close the sale. This is the sixth step in the sales process, closing the sale. Listen to what Chet says here. Although the goal is to set up such logical buying criteria that the prospect and the salesperson walk to the close together, it's kind of like a marriage, it should also be stated that most people need help in making decisions. I had one client, this is funny, listen to this. Chet had one client, it took 2 years for him to make the decision to hire him to help him grow his business. And finally, here's what Chet said. I finally said to him, look, you don't need any more information. You already know how much you're going to know. So do you need me or not? Now, here's how I would have said this. I'd have said, look, it's been 2 years. I've given you every piece of information you need. Are you in or are you out? You're going to hire me or not? Because if you're not, I need to get on down the road. I've got competition of yours. I've got people I can go out there and help. See, sometimes you've got to kick some people in the butt, but it's going to be very seldom. Sadly, here's the kicker. Sadly, most people would have never made it past the first month. They'd have gone ahead and quit. They'd have never gotten the close. They'd have been gone on down the road. Folks, number seven, follow-up. Follow-up is the deal. So you have to constantly follow up. You have to build rapport. You have to build friendship. You can't just do that and fake it. Don't go in there and pretend. Look, here's what happens. And this is going to be some raw information for you. If you go in there and you build rapport and you make the sale and you never follow up, basically what it's going to feel like to your client is that you looked at them as just a little prostitute, a little whore. You took their money, they bought your product, you never followed up, you really didn't care. Just a little one-night stand, little nookie, and you may be laughing, but I'm dead serious. This is a relationship. You've got to culture it. You've got to come alongside and cry with your client. You've got to smile with your client. I've got a friend of mine somebody I'm just now meeting up in Pensacola, starting his third business in network marketing. And you know what? He's got leaders that are with him through this third rendition because they've built such great rapport. His vendors, third company, they're out here with him, working with him. That's what you call building rapport. See, this is what it's about. You got to build the relationship, build the friendship, grow through it. There's going to be some down days. Some of your clients are going to go bankrupt. Some of them are going to get out of business because of the economy. If you're friends with them, they'll come back bigger and stronger than ever. And guess what? They're calling you saying, hey, I need you. Come on back in here. Let's do it again. And we're in for another epic adventure. That's the key. Man, folks, we're having fun in Chet's book. We got a couple of days left next week with it. We're going to start something new. But this tonight, Chuck Gallagher, a businessman, a man that had made mistakes and served time in a federal prison, is going to be on Aces Radio Live at 5 p.m. Central. You need to go to acesradiolive.com, get the information, be on there with Jimmy and I and Chuck. This is going to be an entertaining but very powerful call. You don't want to miss it tonight. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. We'll be back Monday morning. Radio for your mind, 9 a.m. Central. Have a fantastic weekend. Bye now.